You are listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we talk meals and movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And this week, we are here talking about The Mummy of all films because this Friday, June the 9th? June 9th,
nailed a new it.
The Mummy comes out, which, as I found out, makes searching for the original The Mummy very difficult to search for.
Because they have the same name.
I know. I had to type... I first had to find out the year it came out, and then type in the year it came out to actually find anything about the film.
And I'm still unclear if it's a reboot
or a
sequel or what. I mean, it looks like it takes place modern day, but so
does
this
movie. Feels
like a
reboot of the franchise.
I mean, it's definitely a
new mummy, maybe?
But supposedly there was
the other mummy. That's what they should call it.
Easter egg for the original The Mummy. Like, so does that mean, is that just like a hint at that universe existed? I mean, technically they could be in the same timeline because one is modern day, the other takes place in 1929.
But it also looks like from the trailer that they do the, not seven, but 10 plagues again.
Did they do that?
Yeah, they did the locusts. And then...
That's just one. We don't know if there's nine more. I didn't see any
quicksand.
There
were nine in this movie either. There were like four.
Yeah,
of the 10.
They were more overt.
They just kind of stopped doing plagues at one point. Like, they were just like, we've done enough. Because I remember, like, at one point, we were talking about who of the, like, if they did the firstborn son part of the plague, who would die.
Mm-hmm.
And we named one of the characters, and I was a little upset with you, Andre, because I was like, that would have been such a good reveal, and you guessed it ahead of time. And then they didn't even use that.
Unfortunately.
They could have. I wasn't in the writing room. Unfortunately, I was eight.
Well, all the better. You should have been in the room.
Yeah.
Don't sell yourself short, Andre. You may have been eight.
Yeah.
And labor laws may have not allowed you to work, but you can do whatever you want, Andre.
Yeah.
I was so into
Don't sell yourself short.
We've read your fanfic.
I was so into ancient Egypt when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah. The pharaohs, the
I was into the cats and the sphinxes.
I bet you were. I bet you were.
There weren't any sphinxes in this film.
There was one.
But there was a moment where he uses a cat like a gun to shoot away the mummy. And he just holds it up.
Not enough of that. Not enough of that, to be honest.
No, really not enough at all.
All right, should we jump into the food real quick before we get into this film?
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm actually really proud of how this menu turned out. I think it like pushed us outside of our normal comfort zone, and the food ended up being really interesting and kind of different from what we normally do. So to start it out, Leandre, who wants to talk about this?
I was studying for finals.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you guys take it away, but if you would like my input on the taste
Your
of the food.
Your input is,
like, I we can were absolutely.
To try the pickles today. Oh, well.
Oh, we'll try the pickles some other time. They're still pickling at the moment.
Yes.
So that's, well, spoilers.
Pickle spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah, we made pickles for the appetizer, but we didn't do like pickled cucumbers. So we decided to mix up a little bit and go with pickled Brussels sprouts, pickled watermelon rinds, and pickled blueberries. And we were thinking with this, you're preserving... in a jar. It was kind of like the jars that they would preserve organs in when they would mummify someone. So that was kind of the thinking behind it. And some of these items that we pickled looked kind of weird and organ-like and gross if you try to think about what kind of organ they might be when you're looking at it.
Like, so we specifically chose items that are not normally pickled and that look different and are of different shapes, sizes, and textures.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to try the watermelon rinds because I can't imagine what that...
Like, there was star anise in it. There were cloves. It had... that didn't have honey, but...
All of these will have different flavor profiles.
Yeah, they're going to be very interesting.
Yes.
Not your typical pickles.
I'm excited for them. I mean, we can't try the Brussels sprouts for another 3 weeks, but I'm sure they'll...
The Brussels sprouts are a weird one because all the other ones and cucumbers are kind of watery.
Yeah.
So they soak up the vinegar and get that flavor. Brussels sprouts, not so much. They're more leafy. So I'm curious to see if they pick up that vinegar taste or not.
Or if they have that, like, very distinct crunch when you bite into a pickled item. Moving on to the entree, because the mummy itself deals a lot in bones and of the sort, we figured why not go directly and use a bone-based item in bone marrow. So we had a nice parsley salad with some bone marrow that we spread on some toast. Really tasty, better than butter.
Mm-hmm. Better than avocado.
Wrong. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, it was like spreading some kind of beef stew on, but like not with vegetables and all, just like the bouillon, like beefy broth.
And you were originally a little hesitant.
Yeah, I originally said, no, I'm not going to eat bones.
And I had no idea what it would taste like.
And then, no, it was honestly, it was reading this recipe, which was from the New York Times, and it just sounded so simple. You just like put these bones in the oven, scrape it off, put it on bread. And it just, I don't know, for some reason, like reading that changed my mind. And I'm really glad it changed my mind because it was super good.
Like the New York Times article didn't even have you put salt and pepper on it before you put it in the oven. And I definitely did not follow that step of the recipe. I was like, I gotta put something on this. Gotta put something on this. So moving on to the dessert, which... it turned out pretty incredible, if I do say so myself, was a mummified poached pear, if you will. Essentially a poached pear, which was poached in a honey and spice-based sauce. And then from there, we put a wrapping of puff pastry around the outer of it, essentially mummifying it in its own delicious juices. And then... eventually, you take the sauce that the pears were poached in, kind of reduce it down to more of a syrup, pour it over, and you have quite a tasty...
And we've been reusing the syrup ever since.
It's good on ice cream, too.
It was really good on ice cream.
Yeah.
Right?
I was really satisfied with that. Well, like, it held just enough of that fruity flavor to it that it was like,
And it was light enough. The lemon in it really helps. Yes. Yeah. It's good.
Really good.
It's good. I want more honey... based syrups on my ice cream from now on.
Very underrated.
Yeah.
Has just enough of that caramel flavor that you're like, this is kind of just caramel, but then you get the more complex flavors kind of comes out of it, and it's like, just really hits the spot. Moving on to the drink, Andre.
Oh, yes. The drink, we did Blood in the Sand. And what this was, it was a single malt scotch. We did Glenfiddich, sweet vermouth, a cherry liqueur, and
orange juice.
Yeah, orange juice. So it's kind of a pinkish, orangish color. And then we got some pyramid ice cubes and put them in the glass. So the drink kind of has a sand-like coloration to it, and the pyramid ice cube stands out on top of the liquid, so it looks like a pyramid in the sand, which we liked.
And the pyramid kind of rising out of the blood in the sand, much in the way that the mummy rises from his tomb, if you will.
But also pyramids, like, were frequently shown on the green screen in the background.
Yeah, it's a bummer they had a green screen
there. Yeah, they definitely did that. Well, do you think they went to Egypt at all? I'm going to guess no.
Not Egypt.
Where do you think they shot it?
There's probably some other desert they shot.
Yeah, some California desert. Like, not that far from Hollywood.
Like, 2 hours out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is surprising because this film probably had a pretty decent budget.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. Well, they had camels, too. I don't know. We can look into it later.
If we really want to
look into it. I don't really care.
Our phones are all in front of us right now.
Well, I don't want to spend time Googling.
I know. Googling is the worst. It's just like
so someone's going to be listening to this, and they're just going to be like, God damn it. And they're going to look it up themselves because we are all too lazy.
Get back to us.
Yes, please get back to
tweet
us.
Tweet us at getmunchedup.
Yeah.
getmunchedup@gmail.com. We are always waiting for your suggestions, comments, and questions.
And feedback.
Anything.
We'd love to know. The above.
Yeah.
We get enough correspondence from Chef Steps So we might as well hear from someone else.
They got that one for free.
Yeah.
we give them that little hit, and then like when they come back wanting more, then we make
them. We can raise the prices.
Yeah. Okay.
It's pretty easy to raise the price for free.
Yeah, it is.
It's a good starting point. So, the movie itself, The Mummy, Brendan Fraser, a bunch of other people we don't know, and Nicolas Cage. Thank goodness he was in this.
He wasn't actually.
Bald Nicolas Cage.
Bald Nicolas Cage. It was bold choice.
I mean George Clooney.
Andre, he did not look like
George Clooney. More like George Clooney than Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, but it was Nicolas Cage playing the character, so kind of we win there.
It wasn't.
What?
It was Lord Voldemort. That's who it was. The Mummy. We're talking about The Mummy at this point. The guy.
The Mummy himself.
The Mummy himself. What was his name?
My boy.
Yeah, my man.
It was Imhotep?
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, you mumbled like the first part because I don't think
Egyptian name that
was. It
was something like that. Yeah.
Honestly, they said the name of his lover more than they said his name, I think.
Yeah.
They just called him like the Pharaoh or a variety of other names.
The Mummy.
Well, Amun-Su something was
his girlfriend.
Clearly, I remember it.
But they also mumbled the names a lot, and a lot of them had exaggerated British accents too. And
very
it
exaggerated.
Was just
or
very
exaggerated
hard.
English American accents.
It was very hard to get the specific.
Or were Brendan Fraser.
Which is a whole nother accent in its own.
Yeah.
Much like Nicolas Cage.
Which, thank goodness he was in this film. Shining light for me. Just quality.
Andre is just shaking his head.
Quality Nicolas Cage all around.
He hates us right now.
But it was a good performance by Nicolas Cage.
I would rank it
up there. Definitely better than his performance in National Treasure.
And
I would say rivaling his Con Air performance.
What we wanted was Nicolas Cage taking Brendan Fraser's role.
I'm still glad we got Nicolas Cage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think Nicolas Cage would have been a better get than Brendan Fraser?
Well, no, because I thought that originally, but then throughout the movie, I realized more and more that Brendan Fraser, when he was like preparing for this role, I think he just watched a lot of Nick Cage movies because he knew that that was the right tone and accent and like body movement that he needed to have.
How many Nicolas Cage films were out at this time?
Not that many. It was before his big break.
Con Air was 97. Leaving Las Vegas was 95. Raising Arizona was 87. He's been around.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he could have totally been in this film.
He could have. And I think Brendan Fraser knew that they tried to get him and couldn't. Mm. And so he was like, I have some big shoes to fill. And so he practiced really hard, and I think he did a good job of bringing some Nick Cage to the...
I mean, it helped that Nicolas Cage was in an uncredited performance as the Mummy, and so that, like...
He was probably backstage coaching him.
He was a direct actor coach there for him.
Right.
Which, like, thank goodness for that.
I thought...
I felt like this film improved because of it.
Definitely.
I thought Brendan Fraser was more Harrison Ford-esque in Indiana Jones than Nicolas Cage-esque in... National Treasure.
Okay.
Like, he took the lighthearted. He wasn't trying to be an action star. Like, he missed pretty much every shot he took. Like, he would often be shooting his guns and you wouldn't see anyone fall.
Does Harrison Ford do that?
No.
I mean, he was competent, at least.
Yeah, he was competent. But he was more, like, lighthearted fun and less, like, action star.
So he was really more like Pierce Brosnan as James Bond. Because I remember in that film, we were real worked up about the fact that everything seemed so, like...
Could not buy him as a spy.
Yeah.
So...
Yes.
He was more Pierce Brosnan than Harrison Ford.
The goofiness of that Pierce Brosnan character, for sure. Because Brendan Fraser is a goofy dude.
So goofy.
Like, hard to take him seriously.
It's a smile.
Did George of the Jungle come out before or after this?
Oh, I forgot he was George.
That is a film.
So can I tell you guys?
I kind of want to go back to.
What's your favorite?
I do not know how many times I've seen it because I think it was a lot.
Uh-huh.
And B, specifically remember the fact that my mom bought the soundtrack and we listened to it.
George
of the Jungle.
Watch out for that.
Definitely from like the Tim Allen School of Acting.
Yeah.
That was in 97. The Tim Collins one. So before this. But I remember seeing George of the Jungle so much and thinking it was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it actually was, I would love to go back to it, but I imagine it does not hold up one bit.
Probably not. I'm not rushing out to watch another Brendan Fraser movie.
Can we just do a time check on it real quick? Is it under 2 hours?
Welcome to Munch's time check on the quality of the film. If the film ring comes in at about 90 minutes, we give it a 10 out of 10. Anything over that, basically 0 out of 10 in our book.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get dinged 1 point per minute. So once you hit 100 minutes, you're over. Yes.
Sorry, Interstellar. You're out of here.
Yes.
All right. Before I give you the length of this film, I want to talk about that word length first. I always feel really weird typing in George. So my search term here was George of the Jungle length.
Oh, okay.
And always feels weird to do that. I should do running time.
Yeah, do run time, Ben.
Sure.
There's a way around this.
Length is shorter, yeah. I might add.
Slightly.
Shorter. But.
In syllables.
George of the Jungle comes in at 1 hour, 35 minutes.
Wow. Oh, 5 out of 10.
You know,
pretty good.
I can appreciate that. Yeah.
I would watch it.
Bravo, George of the Jungle.
5 out of 10 feels about right, actually, as a score for that film. I would guess, having not seen it in like 20 years.
I'm trying to remember what it was. Was there a love story in that?
Oh, there was definitely.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know if Brendan Fraser has been in a film in which there wasn't a love story.
Who could not fall in love with Brendan Fraser?
Funny, because they pushed,
for one.
Yeah.
They pushed the romance in this film so hard. Like, it happened so fast.
Like, he kind of has a type. Like, in George of the Jungle, it's technically kind of like a smart woman who is book educated that is off.
But not jungle educated?
Should have been the tagline. But a smart
She's
woman.
She's book smart, but not jungle smart. No, I see what you're saying.
Until she met George.
Kind of to like balance out his like goofiness.
Yeah.
And so he has someone smart and innocent.
What's Bedazzled about? Because that was his other top-billed film on IMDb.
It's a movie where they connect 4 jewels of the same color.
Isn't it 3 jewels?
Is it? I haven't played jewels. It.
Wow.
It's just him sitting on a train playing Bejeweled for 2.5 hours.
That's Bejeweled, not Bedazzled.
Not Bedazzled.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
I think it is, like, he falls in love with the devil or something. The devil is a woman in this scenario, and, like, he has to do
a certain kind of smart, cute.
I mean, she's playing the devil, so that's, like, most assuredly a yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's all Prada? I know about that. I mean, I've heard that the devil does wear Prada.
I've heard
so
as well.
I can confirm.
I have it on good authority.
The devil definitely does wear Prada.
Should we talk about this film now?
I'm enjoying just like this Brendan Fraser and Nicolas Cage
train. We're avoiding
it
so much.
But not because it's a bad film. I think it's just a very 90s film.
There's really not a whole lot to say about it.
No, like
there was a mummy. There was Brendan Fraser. The CGI was.
There were 2 women.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has the obvious problems. Like, let's just get that out of the way. There are 2 women in this film. One of them dies in the first 5 minutes, so that's fun.
It takes about half the film before a white dude dies.
I was going to say, there's also, like, no people of color. And then when they show them, it's Brendan Fraser driving a car, mowing them all down.
Yeah.
So that sucked.
Not a great look.
That was bad. So, like, all that stuff happens, which not to diminish that, but I think as we've watched these older movies, we've just kind of become accustomed to the fact that
it was a different time.
It was a different time, and people just they did not make good decisions in their casting.
Yeah. And I think something about this film is that I kind of want to pose to you two. Like, was this film always just very generic and by the books and like had its place, or has since this time, the tropes in this film and everything that happens in this film just become so kind of monotonous and basic, if you will. Like, was it fresh in its time, or was it actually kind of just rolling on the coattails of everything that came before it and was just early enough in the cycle that was in, that it was interesting and was successful, but ultimately kind of just because there was nothing surprising in this film. Everything was like, yep, that sounds about right.
The one thing that stands out to me, so when you raise that, two things come to mind. One is that it felt very by the books, and there, especially the scenes where they were like over the top goofy with things, like when like Brandon Fraser is like brandishing the cat, or like just like,
which was like a nice moment, if you will, even if it never actually came back to be anything.
Yeah,
it like just, they needed to bring it back one more.
There was this level of like one-liners and goofiness and jokes in action movies that they had to hit in the 90s that are just so 90s. And it just dates like a movie so hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he had a line that was like, mummies, am I right?
That was a terrible line.
That was not
great. That was supposed to be a joke.
To me,
it did not land.
It felt very Indiana Jones.
What was the line he had about the scarabs when they were going through the tunnel? Because that was also
bugs.
Basically.
Bugs.
Yeah, he drew it out. Like, he gave it almost like a southern draw. Bugs.
And he did it with his Brendan Fraser
But
smile.
Speaking of bugs, the one thing in this film that did not feel typical of a 90s action film to me was the fact that they had these bugs that would crawl into your skin and eat you.
See, I feel like that was in some 90s movies, the, like, skin crawlers.
In horror movies, yes. I think, yes. But they didn't have that level of, like, I mean, I was screaming.
It when did Men in Black come out?
Good question.
Early, because I cried during it and couldn't finish it.
97, so before this. Because I feel like there was some, like,
skin crawling thing
in
there.
Yeah.
There's another one. I think maybe
Neo, The Matrix definitely had some of that, which was
I think later.
That was early 2000s.
I also, got to that point in the film and couldn't watch it. That's why I've never seen The Matrix.
I think you should watch it.
I will. I just, you know,
I would love to know what you think of it now.
Well, I've never seen it, so... I've seen it up to the point where Neo loses his mouth, and then I cried and had to leave.
But we watched The Mummy where the guy lost his eyes and his tongue.
I didn't watch that part.
You never really saw it, but that wasn't a great moment. No, it was such a weird moment.
But still, there was a level of horror in this action film that I don't think you saw that crossover of genres that much in the 90s.
I could see this. So that, like, it was starting that, like,
it wasn't a serious whole lot of horror.
No, but I still, even today, I think in most action films, there it's rare that you see a level of like
body-ish.
Horror like that. Yeah, there's torture sometimes, but I feel like that still is different in action films than watching a bug crawl into a man's hand and then, like, explode in his head like that.
I mean, this film definitely toes the line of, like, between at times kind of, like, dipping into thriller-ish territory with, like...
It does.
Which is interesting because the new movie feels like it's going all in on horror.
Yeah, like, it is basically a monster movie at this point, akin to Godzilla and things like that.
Oh, please give me another Godzilla movie. I would watch the shit out of that.
That last Godzilla movie film was really good.
I loved it.
It was really good. It was weird how quickly they accepted Godzilla as their friend, but other than
it wasn't. It's Godzilla.
I mean, when the world is on the line, you're going to take any friend you can.
Yeah, okay.
You don't have much time for second guessing.
Even the mummy?
Not on their side.
No.
Yeah, definitely not. Very different. You're confused.
What if he was?
He wouldn't be. You've got the Book of the Dead and the Gold Book telling you that he's not. No, okay,
you're right.
It's just that simple.
Yeah.
It's funny because he was so weak in his life, and then he died and came back, and he was very, very powerful.
So strong.
So very strong.
Well, he was immortal.
They kind of glossed over some of that.
They glossed over a lot of things.
There was a lot of downloading really early on.
If you're the type of person who enjoys picking holes in a film, watch this film. You will have such a good time.
There was definitely a couple things where you're like, what even happened there?
Like, yeah. Especially the fact that, I'm going to bring this up again, the mummy was just afraid of cats. They never explained that.
Did we miss that in the first?
I don't think they explained it. I don't think they did. It just happened.
Okay.
Well, cats were, like, supposedly gods and...
Yes. You're pulling from your own historical knowledge and not from something that they specifically address in the film. Uh-huh. In the film...
yeah, like, I don't think that knowledge is, like...
Yeah, Evie just has a cat. And then the mummy shows up, he sees the cat, screams, turns into sand, and, like, flies away.
Well, it was unclear if he was scared of the cat or the song it was playing on the piano, because that was the original keyboard cat. The cat was walking across the piano playing a song.
I mean, he was ahead of his time.
But there's also the point where...
Memes
like,
back in 1999.
No, this was actually a 1920s cat. 1929.
Oh, good point.
Brandon Fraser also, like, is holding the cat... Like brandishing him as a shield.
I love that.
And the mummy also dissipates after that happens.
It's basically laser cats, just a couple of years earlier.
Yeah,
yeah, basically.
They were
yeah.
like real lasers where you can't see the laser.
Yes, how lasers are meant to be.
Right, how they are in the real world.
So let's talk about the new mummy trailer, or not the new mummy trailer, but the new mummy film for a bit, which. Clearly, we're not sure if it's a reboot or a sequel. We do know that it takes place in this new kind of dark universe, as it's called, that is going to include Frankenstein, werewolf, and like Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and a variety of other characters. And this is the start of an extended universe similar to DC and Marvel. But, like, reviews are out and it's not great. And
just like Batman versus Superman.
I'm really into Disney. These extended universes, though.
You are?
Yeah, I just wish that these production companies would be more risk. I mean, you guys know, like, I was rooting for the Fast and Furious Terminator crossover.
So you want to see crossovers, but not necessarily extended universes.
She likes extended universes.
As well?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it doesn't have to be, like, I don't need a movie that specifically is like, we are going to have both Fast and Furious and Terminators in this, or like, we are going to have Pirates of the Caribbean and Transformers in this.
Great movie.
I would settle for just some Easter eggs or like, you know,
so you want interconnectedness between movies, even if it's not like overt, but and then like some extra Easter eggs.
Yeah,
and
just that like like acknowledgement that
I think you would love. Actually, I think you would actually love the Marvel series.
It's not really well known.
There's this indie film called The Avengers.
Really good.
Are they?
I think it played at like Northwest Film Forum or something like that.
It was Sundance.
Okay.
Yeah, they won Sundance.
Is anyone?
But no one's
in
talking
it?
About it.
I did not recognize
Robert Downey Sr. I think is in it.
I didn't recognize anyone there, but you know, he's an actor. That's for sure. I know he's an actor.
Brendan Fraser was the Hulk, I think.
What's up?
Well, it's just that...
Talk us through your thoughts.
It's just that there's been so many Hulks. Like, how can they even be in the same universe if there's three Hulks?
Mm-hmm. All right. How about... Imagine...
That is my issue with these companies, too, is that they just gloss over that, like, oh, we've...
There's not, like, an end point for
Well, that's how extended universes work. If the series goes on longer than the actor wants to be involved with it, that character still has to be in the series.
It's true.
Do you think Edward Norton walked away from being the Hulk? Or do you think...
It's really not his typical...
The Hulk walked away from
Oh, I see. I think he kind of like was quit fired from the...
Hulkiverse?
Well, the Marvelverse, but yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. He's someone who's known for having a heavy hand in production and directing.
Yeah.
So I imagine they were like,
Joss Whedon's got this. Sorry, bud.
We'll bring you back for another one at some point. Never to bring him back again.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be weird if in the next Avengers movie they replaced Mark Ruffalo with Edward Norton?
I'd be bummed a little bit.
Why?
Because Mark Ruffalo has chemistry with Scarlett Johansson now.
Oh, right.
Also, I think I just like Mark Ruffalo better than Edward Norton.
Oh, really? Oh, it's the opposite for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Leanna, where do you fall on this line?
I guess I'd have to go with Mark Ruffalo.
Thank you.
Edward Norton just doesn't feel like a superhero character to
That's
me.
Fair.
What do you not like about Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, tell us.
I didn't used to like him very much, but he's been doing better recently. I just like Edward Norton. Like, he's been in a lot of good
he,
movies.
Wasn't he in that movie 13 oh, Going Club. On 30?
Yeah.
No, not
the Hulk.
No,
Zac Efron.
Was he actually?
I think that was Zac Efron.
That was definitely Zac Efron.
Yeah, that was Zac.
Going on 30.
No, that was Mark Ruffalo. It wasn't Mark Ruffalo. It was someone else. But it was
Zac Efron.
Jennifer.
Zac Efron was
definitely
in that film. Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. Jennifer, not Hudson. No,
nope.
Definitely not her.
It's Jennifer something. The Zac Efron one is 17
Jennifer
again.
Jennifer Garner. Mark Ruffalo is actually in that.
Oh,
17
it is.
Again.
Yeah, 17 again.
Right.
Yeah.
17 again. I can pull up the poster in my mind for that film.
Yeah, it also had Chandler in it.
Yep, that's his name.
There's an extended universe.
You know, Joey looks a lot like Brendan Fraser.
No, he doesn't.
That is
Andre.
Not true.
I guess he doesn't look that much.
You
but
need
you know
to stop forcing people to look like other people in your mind. You
does
need
Joey
to stop
look
that.
Like George Clooney?
No, he doesn't.
A little bit he does. He's got that pepper, salt and pepper hair.
You guys, we are all over the place on this podcast right now.
Oh, that's fine.
What were we supposed
embrace
to be talking
the chaos.
About?
It has been a while since we've recorded
17
one.
Again.
We were talking about 17 again.
Zac Efron.
Is that the... okay. What's her name?
Who?
Who?
Amanda Bynes. Is that the Amanda Bynes one?
No.
Is she in the...
No,
she's in some like 13 going on 30 scenario.
She isn't. She's the man where she pretends to be a boy. That's what you're
based
thinking
of. Based off the hit Shakespeare classic. Oh man.
Uh-oh.
I swear Amanda Bynes was in some like body switching time travel something.
Freaky
oh,
Friday.
You're thinking Freaky Friday.
Ah, that's the one.
That was,
that's the one.
That was Lindsay Lohan though.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, Amanda Bynes got
and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Amanda Bynes has been struggling to reboot her life, according to E! Online.
When was that posted?
2017.
Oh, Hot Topics.
Oh, she recently returned to Twitter.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, because she had that breakdown a couple years ago.
Yeah, she did.
That was rough.
It was.
I mean, it's not easy being a young child star, making all that money, growing up in a harsh environment that celebrities do, and then finding yourself an adult.
There were no kids in this movie either. The Mummy, now, is what I'm talking about. The
Switching
movie that we watched.
Lanes.
What movie?
You the are mummy? Correct. There were no kids.
Oh, The Mummy. Yeah, that was a good one.
Despite this film, like, for some reason, in my mind, it was directed towards kids.
It was the goofy things that happened. Yeah. But
I don't
it was
think
also...
so, because my parents didn't let me watch it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not that
did
my parents
did. We figure out what
did.
It was rated?
I bet it's PG-13.
But there were some nipples in, like, the first...
You're
I
not think they
wrong.
Were pasties.
I think there was, like, enough covering it. That
there
it
were
like,
nipples.
There were definitely... So. I'm not denying the fact that there were nipples. But
I
think
mean,
they
I'm
played
pro
it off.
Nipple, but I know in this world they are not
I mean,
PG-13.
Free the nipple.
I think it's like the F-bomb. You get one per movie.
There were two.
There were two. Multiple times.
Her lingerie, and then also...
Good to know you weren't taking that close of a look, though. Appreciate that. Thanks,
Mummy Girl at the beginning was also shown some nip.
Yeah, definitely.
But I definitely think it's PG-13. I mean, if you can watch it, it's probably PG-13.
It was probably PG-13. I mean, that was not PG. There's
yeah,
no way. And there's no way it was R. There would have been a lot more blood. Because
yeah.
there was opportunity.
There was literally no swearing.
They would
in this
say
whole film.
Silly things. Silly things.
What would this have been as an R-rated film? Like, one, it probably wouldn't have been made. But what would it have been?
The new one?
No, this one.
Like, I would have been
to combine
new-
that
there would have been a sex scene. Like, definitely Brandon Fraser and Evie would have, like, gotten it on. Right.
You think so?
Not the mummy and Evie?
When? Oh, no. When they were getting drunk at the campsite, maybe.
No, it would have been somewhere in the middle, like afterwards. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, drunk at the campsite.
I think, spoiler, but I think it's like the end of, I think it's The Matrix, where Neo and Trinity are having sex in that, like, re-energizing container or something like that. I think that's what it's like. Like, it's an end credit, like, last scene of the film.
Oh, that makes sense, because that was when they had, like, the most romantic kiss of the whole film. Yeah, they were like,
ah, you saved me.
Okay.
The literal damsel in distress that they say that exact
scene. Okay, so definitely there would have been a sex scene.
Yeah.
There would have been swearing. There was just no swearing in this film at all.
Which might have, like, helped it a little bit. Like, some, like...
I'm trying to think of some of the words they would say instead of swearing. It's not coming to
they
mind.
They just yelled a lot.
Yeah.
Like, there was just screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There would have been more blood splatter.
Oh, totally.
There was definitely a lack of blood in this film.
Yeah. And probably...
A notable lack of blood.
There was a lot of implied violence where, like...
They would cut away.
They would cut away, or like something would wipe across the screen so you wouldn't actually see it. Mm-hmm. If this were R-rated, you would have seen that guy's tongue get cut out, and you would have seen...
Well, I'm glad I didn't have to see that. Like, I should stick to PG-13 movies.
You would have seen the scarabs like actually like go inside of their hand. Like,
you're gonna, like, have an open sore as it like...
Yeah, yeah.
And then like pop out a couple times just to break the skin.
Yeah, definitely. But there were, like, yeah, I think it was just a lack of blood, because they showed the mummy walking around with just, like, gaping holes in his face and, like, bugs crawling out of it, but it looked so fake that it wasn't really...
Yeah. I wonder how close this film was to getting an R rating. Like, what did they have to take out of this film to get that PG?
There's no nudity and no language, so I feel like they were pretty far away.
Yeah, I think they were shooting for PG-13 from the get-go.
Like, I think so, too.
Okay. Just because I wonder if, like, some of the scenes early on with the princess? I don't... The one lady...
The daughter of the pharaoh.
The daughter of the pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
Like... She wasn't... It did not look like she was wearing anything. Like, they had... Like, that's not easy to get...
I know, that part's confusing. Rating. I felt really conflicted.
Well, it's a lot of body...
Especially because the ratings board is a lot more... aware of sexual content as opposed to violent content. So it's like, it does not take a lot to get
that. Maybe they were confused, like all of us, and they were like, is that a bodysuit or is that a tattoo? And then it ended up being none of those things, and so they just didn't really know how to rate it, so they were like, we'll let it pass.
We've never come across this before.
Yeah, this is new.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how body paint works into those ratings, because she was completely covered in gold paint, right?
She was.
I'm thinking Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, like, same deal.
Don't you have to cover that swimsuit edition up, though?
No. It's just in the regular... section.
Really?
With all the other magazines. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's PG-13. Body paint.
Huh.
Okay.
Alright. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
The Mummy's an interesting film. We can say that.
It was fine.
It was. It was
had
fun.
Its moments.
It
was fun. Like,
it was enjoyable.
It was well over an hour and a half, so it gets a 0 out of 10.
Yes. But like a generous 0.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was fine. Like, I chuckled a couple times. I was startled a few times.
Okay, so it's a 0 out of 10, but, like, +2 for cats.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we saw a cat 3 times in there. I think we can get
+3 for cats.
Okay.
-2 for just having 2 women in the film, so they're down to a 1.
Okay.
And then Brendan Fraser, I think, is just a 0.
Yeah. And then we throw a reviewer's tilde in it and then give it our own score. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Sounds good.
Just add 1 to whatever you want.
Sure.
That's going to be great. And our post is just going to be like, yours will be a percentage.
I know.
And it'll be like
71.
71 plus
no,
1.
I'd give it a 61.
61. Okay. Oh, so you'd give it a 60 plus 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And then Andre and I will usually have something weird, but it'll just be like something weird +1.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I like that.
I'm into
sure.
it.
Sure, I'm fine with it.
Just try to remember. Yeah.
We'll see.
Writing it down right now. Click, 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 click. These are my fingers across my phone.
Anything else we wanted to talk about with The Mummy?
Just how Brendan Fraser's a weird actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm not surprised he's been in much else. Yeah, I know. I just wanted to drive home that point.
It was weird. I wanted Nathan Fillion.
He would have been good in it, too.
Yeah.
Well, he may not have been, like, I'm not sure if I would have enjoyed this film more with Nathan Fillion, because I think a lot of the humor moments I got out of this film was just, like, the...
Oh, him being bad.
And ridiculous. And, yeah. Like, why is he smiling like that as he says that? Why is, like, his joke. Every smile of his is a grimace, more or less.
Yeah. Like, I hate that my career has come to this.
But I'm also making so
much money. I'm peaking right now, and I hate it.
And I can't stop it.
Yeah.
I think his... What was his fall from grace? Because we were trying to figure that out. I think
Mummy 3.
Spanglish?
Oh, okay.
He was in Spanglish?
Or was... No, that was Adam Sandler.
Mark Ruffalo? Oh,
okay. Yeah. Mark Ruffalo.
Sorry. What would be his fall from grace?
I don't know.
So after the mummy, he was in Inkheart.
Don't know that.
No.
He was in G.I. Joe, The Rise of the Cobra. Wow. So.
Do not know his role in that, but...
That sounds like a
his fall from grace came before that, for sure.
That's I stick to Mummy 3.
Extraordinary Measures, Furry Vengeance, Standoff?
No, because I think it has to be high profile enough to where everyone recognizes him that it would sink his career.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's got to be The Mummy. Oof. That's got
to
be it.
I think one to go out on.
Yeah. I think, Ben, you are right that he made it more enjoyable. This is one of those, I don't want to say so bad it's good, because it wasn't like terrible, but it was.
But it's not like.
It's not so good it's good. It's like. The right kind of cheesy.
Like, it brought us through. Yeah. Like, I was on enough of a journey that, like, I didn't feel completely bored during this film.
Yeah. You know, I didn't really feel bored either.
I know, there was a moment when they were on the camels going through the desert, and I was like, here we go, the middle hour slog, when they're just, like, traveling around.
But then the camels started running.
Yeah, but then there was a camel race.
Whoa, 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 camel race.
Camels do not run that fast.
They were really fast in this movie. That's probably...
I think we should all pick a favorite scene in the movie, just because I feel like we haven't talked about the movie that much.
Okay.
And mine's going to be the camel race, because I really loved how there's like this standoff between this group of guys on horses and then like Brandon Fraser's crew on camels. And you're looking at them and you're like, these camels look so gangly and like awkward. There's no way they're going to beat these race horses.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, the way they shot the scene, these camels are beating everyone. And there's literally a scene where they're galloping into the temple and they're just doing like a healthy trot.
Right.
But everyone else is just leagues behind them for some reason. And I thought that was really funny. Like, whoever was directing that day was just like, I know camels aren't fast enough, but we're going to make them fast enough. And just, that's how they shot it.
I would love to know if, like, what is the top speed
of a camel?
Of a camel.
I'm going to guess 40 miles per hour.
I'm going to guess faster than a horse, just based on how much they won that race by.
In a race that pits a camel against a horse, which animal wins?
Oh, we're on Yahoo Answers.
Like I say in real estate, location, location, location. Imagine a horse and a camel out of the starting gate at a racetrack. The horse would win easily. But let them race in a desert, and for a longer period of time, I think the camel would win.
Source? Is there a source on this answer?
No, this is Yahoo Answers. Come on.
Yeah, but bottom, they have a place to put in source. If they opt in.
Yeah, and usually it's just like, I'm an expert. I've been racing camels my whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
A racing camel's top speed is 40 miles per hour. Run 25 miles per hour for 1 hour or 12 miles per hour for up to 18 hours. Wow. Average horse speed is also 40 miles per hour, but for 2 minutes at best.
Wow.
Wow, they're very fast and enduring creatures.
I take it all back. Apparently, this is a very accurate movie.
Yeah.
I think they just got like the wrong camels. Like, those weren't the most...
Well, we don't know how long they were racing for. I think it was probably like a 3-4 hour race, and it was a good pace, what we saw of the camels.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. I think my favorite film is every time Brendan Fraser fired a gun.
I love that film.
Because...
Every filmic moment.
My favorite film is every time Brendan Fraser fires a gun.
Just cut that into a montage. Let yes. me watch that, and I am set for life.
Yes.
We'll quit the blog. That's all we need.
Yes. We'll create meals for that from now until the end of time.
I love at the beginning of the movie. I mean, this is for you, Ben.
Oh, it's always for me.
Everyone is lined up and shooting other people, and we don't know why. And there's a pretty much one-to-one, like, shot fired, someone falls off a horse. And then Brendan Fraser pulls out two pistols and just starts shooting like crazy, and no one falls off their horses. And it's great.
Yeah, it's really good. It's also really stupid.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah. My personal favorite is when Brendan Fraser's on the boat.
Yeah.
And then the weird guy with the pencil mustache pops out. He was like a stowaway. And Brendan Fraser just picks him up and throws him off the boat. And like other people on the boat look over and then go back to what they're doing. Like he just murdered a guy on a boat where like everyone knows each other. And
he didn't murder him.
Well, for all intents, the people on the boat
thought he did.
You would think so, yeah. If you were on a cruise and you saw someone throw someone else off a boat, would you go back to your card game? And this is a cruise with like your coworkers. You know, I mean,
if I thought he was murdered, I definitely wouldn't go back to the card game. But if I thought he was like, I'll
shore's not that far away, because that's what he had to do. He had to swim to shore.
He did. Everything happened really quickly.
Brendan Fraser just had a habit of throwing things in this film.
Oh, the chair! Yeah. Every time Brendan Fraser throws something.
I don't know why that wasn't my favorite scene, because that's also a great scene.
Some guy runs away from Brendan Fraser, and Brendan Fraser throws a chair like 60 feet and hits him dead on. The guy just falls down.
And this isn't like your normal throw. Like, he kind of winds up on it, like, compresses his body down, like, so he's maybe 3 foot tall as he
like
throws
a pitcher.
It.
Like, a pitcher throws a fastball.
Basically, and then throw a little bit of, like, that typical Russian dance where your legs are out in front of you into that, and then, like, that's his throwing motion.
Yeah.
And a grimace.
And it was really good.
It was great. He's a good thrower.
Yeah, him
people,
throwing
chairs.
And also we his rewinded facial expressions.
That. Yes, we rewinded that scene because it was so good.
Yeah. We don't rewind many things. We like to rewind late title cards, and every once in a while there will be an expression or an action that just really tickles us, and this is one of them.
Sure.
Or a glimmer added to a piece of gold.
That never looks good.
No, it doesn't. We know it's shiny.
I don't know why people thought that would be a good idea.
I don't know.
Like, I know you need to, like, really focus on this object, but just not. It's not working.
What are we watching next? Is it going to be better than this?
The movies. The magic movies.
Nope, that is not correct.
Spider-Man!
Ah, oh, yeah.
Spider-Man does whatever Spider can. We're watching two Spider-Man movies, actually.
Spider-Man.
Pitting them.
Two Spider-Man movies.
Head to head. We are going to watch the Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire films, and...
And we're going to watch Homecoming, too, right?
Well, I mean, we're going to watch good, it. I don't think we're going to write about it.
No, that's Andre's Spider-Man. We're pitting three of us against each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to watch the new one.
Does the timing work out on that? We need to check the timing.
We'll figure that out off the podcast, probably.
Yeah. You don't want to just have a quick meeting?
Yeah, we can just all pull out our calendars.
All right. Hang in there, folks. Yeah. We'll be right back. I think that's actually a good place to kind of wrap this up. How's everyone feeling?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So this has been...
I have one more thing to say.
Let's hear it.
We got to do an iTunes roulette soon. I miss it.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because we also have updated rules on that.
We do. Yes. We've been rebalancing the game a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just making it more
for
fun.
For podcast form.
Yeah. Fun, more fun to listen to, quicker to play.
We decided it was not a good idea to have the first half of the podcast just be us stressing over our choices.
Yeah. You don't want a podcast. You want a fun cast.
Yes.
And that's what
we're
here to
bring. That to you.
Or we hope we are.
We're going to try.
Whether or not we actually are, I don't know. Let us know.
I get what you're
Five stars. Five stars if we're a fun cast.
Or just give us five stars whether you like us
yes,
or not.
That, sure.
I mean, I think that's just
it.
Easy. I'll take that too.
Yeah.
But we are Munch. We review movies and we pair meals with them. You can find us online on Facebook, which is kind of just Munch Blog, I believe. It's actually hard to find us on Facebook. I think that
no
talk to Facebook about that. We are on Instagram, Get Munched Up, Twitter, Get Munched Up, Pinterest, Get Munched Up. I was going to mention our Mastodon account, but I feel like that joke has run its course.
Did you ever get access?
No, and it's already over, so it doesn't matter.
Not heard anything about Mastodon.
Did it die?
No, it's probably still around. It has its core group.
Dedicated 10,000 people who love it.
Yeah. In addition, you can send us questions, comments, anything you want at getmunchedup@gmail.com. We would love it if you could rate, comment, and subscribe. It helps us to gain more notoriety, but just more awareness in the world. And with that, I want to close out on one final segment that I'm going to call Munch Does Foley Work.
Oh.
Okay. And there was a version of the Mummy trailer that was released last year, specific for IMAX theaters, that was released online without a lot of the actual music and voice tracks that are normally supposed to be in a trailer.
It's so good. Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. You'll find a mirror of a mirror of a mirror to the video itself, because Universal has done a pretty solid job of taking it down. But it is worth your time and effort to find it. And with that, we are going to do a live rendition. Live being just in the confines of this house, it is going to be recorded for you. But live for us, of us, unplanned, unpracticed, going through the entirety of that trailer, live. How's everyone feeling? Springing this on you a little bit. But.
So it's just the what the characters are saying, grunting, doing, no voiceover.
Yep, the Foley work.
Okay.
And the slight bit of music.
Okay.
Everyone ready?
Yeah. Sure.
Doom. Pan, 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 pan!
It's a mummy! Mummies, am I right?
Yeah. And that was the rendition of our mummy trailer.
Sure.
You can line that up, time stamp that with the actual trailer, and it'll
pretty
much be exact. And with that, good day.